Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve all baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you're a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. And you guys, this is going to be sad again. I know.
Actually, two sad movies in a row.
I know. We talked about going like sad movie, happy movie. But sorry, hasn't worked out. You're going to have a lot of feelings about this one.
Yeah.
So we are discussing the film that introduced me to my love, Queen Latifah. Set It Off. This movie is from 1996 and centers around a group of young women in LA that begin a career in bank robbery. Mm-hmm. The movie stars Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Vivica A. Fox. What are your favorite roles for any or all of them, Angie?
Okay, so obviously, I think the first time that I saw Queen Latifah in a movie was not this one. Oh. It was Beauty Shop. And I really liked her in that one.
I've never seen Beauty Shop.
You have to. But obviously, very different role.
Yeah.
Because I think my mom was like, between Set It Off and this one, which one's more appropriate for you to watch?
Yeah.
So it was Beauty Shop. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw her in Set It Off, I was like, oh my gosh, she's an amazing actress. But for me, just because that was the first time I saw her, Beauty Shop. But for Jada Pinkett Smith, I think the first time I saw her was on I think The Prince of Bel-Air.
I was just going to say.
I think that's the very first time that I saw her was on there. And I thought she was so beautiful.
She's so beautiful.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then obviously watching this, I was like, wow, more new discoveries. And then for Vivica A. Fox, I would say I know she's not in it for a very long time, but I did like her in Kill Bill.
Oh.
I thought she should have lived.
Yeah.
Because she was a mom and she was just, you know, trying to live her life. And she did apologize. But I mean, you know, sadly she didn't.
I don't know Kill Bill. Oh. I mean, I've heard of it. And I know the famous outfit that Uma Thurman wears. But mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever really like fully seen it. So mm-hmm. I didn't know she was in it.
She's one of the first ones that Beatrix goes to kill. Oh. And she's like getting her revenge on all these people. She's like this person. Mm-hmm. But obviously she doesn't do it. Because her daughter's there and her daughter comes home from school. So Beatrix is like, I'm not going to do it. We'll meet you. Like, I'll meet you in this whatever field and we'll fight and stuff. And Vivica's like, okay, like, that's fine. But then she pulls out a gun. So then Beatrix kills her. Oh, and then the daughter walks in. And then Beatrix is like, you may want to get revenge on me for someday for this. And that's okay. You can. So that's what they were saying, that there may have been like – that there's going to be a sequel and it's going to be her daughter getting revenge on Beatrix.
Isn't there already a sequel to Kill Bill? Mm-hmm. Isn't there Kill After, Bill Part 2?
Yes. Oh, but I meant like the one? Entire – yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What about you?
Well, I didn't think of one for all of them. I just love Queen Latifah. And I love her in this because she is giving stud. Mm-hmm. And I love it. But I also love her in Chicago when she sings that, if you're good to mama. I don't know. I'm attracted. And then also, what was the other? Oh, Bessie, which we're going to talk about. Mm. I loved that. And it was also gay. So I got to see her being gay in her, you know, regular element. Yeah. And I just love her in real life. Jada Pinkett Smith, she played a lesbian in a movie. I think it was called The Women or something. It was like a bunch of like middle-aged women and like that were friends, and she was a lesbian. And I remember thinking that was interesting because I never thought of her as a lesbian. Mm. I don't know. But I do think she is literally so pretty, and I forget about that. And because of all of the entanglements and all the drama
My God, not the entanglements.
Yes. But then I was watching this I rewatched it and I was like, oh my God, like she is so beautiful.
She's very beautiful.
She just has like really, I mean, her whole face, her facial structure is very beautiful.
Yeah.
But she has like, her eyes are like this really pretty, like light brown. Mm-hmm. And it like, I don't know. It's just like almost hazel, but not. Like I thought they were hazel. And then the guy in the movie says like, oh, I like staring into your pretty brown eyes. And I was like, oh.
He's a man. Of course he doesn't know.
I know. But I was like, I think they are brown. They're just a very light brown.
Yeah.
That I started to think they were hazel. They're almost like an amber. Mm-hmm. Amber eyes. Anyway, point being, I can't think of any other things that I like know Vivica A. Fox from. I just think she's really hot.
She is very hot.
She has a really nice, beautiful body. I don't know.
We'll watch Kill Bill and you'll see her in it for like 10 minutes.
I'm like, wow. Okay. Anywho, do you have any hot takes or burning desires that you want to share about this movie?
I feel like my only hot take is that they – spoiler again, too, if you haven't seen this movie.
You should see it. It's 30 years old now.
Yeah. I kind of am sad that they all died. I had hoped that maybe
– not all.
That's true. But, like, everyone mostly, else. You know, yeah. I thought that, like – I mean, I guess it's supposed to be that way that they all die, minus Tony. Yeah. But I am sad that they did.
I know.
So I would want that to be changed just for me.
I agree.
And everyone else that also thinks this.
Yeah.
What is your hot take or burning desire?
Well, I have a lot of things to talk about. So strap in, everybody. So I said I wish that the movie was gayer.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal to have a gay main character at the time, especially like a more masculine presenting one, because still even now, mostly if we see someone that is a lesbian, they try to make it more palatable to straight people and men by making them like feminine. So I like that she was not that femme at all. And I also said this movie does a really good job of explaining how privilege works and how the lack of certain privileges impacts people. All of these women are Black and poor, and they have no generational wealth, and they're already judged for their skin color and their sex. So they're up against a lot of struggles, and these systems keep beating them down. Like we see Titi's son get taken away by CPS, and she's just trying to work, but she can't work without a babysitter, and then she brings him to work. Like all of these things. So.
Like what is she supposed to do, you know? Yeah. And everyone says like that's just not their problem. Like she's supposed to figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's like.
And it's just.
Okay. Well, they did figure it out. They said I need money. So let's rob a bank.
Yes. And so I just think it did a really good job of like showing like everyone doesn't start with the same clean like slate. Like people that don't believe that white privilege is a thing like to say like, well, I had it hard and I'm white, so therefore white privilege is not a thing. And it's like, okay, but you you don't have generational trauma and oppression that happen and systemic racism against you. You just are poor white trash. Like that's different. No one's saying that your life is perfect because you're white, but like people have different literally like starting points with the privilege that they have. And so I think it's a good example to show people that don't understand. Also, the ending with Cleo being shot by a bunch of cops is just like the beginning when Stevie gets shot by a bunch of cops.
Yeah.
And I feel that they did that on purpose because it demonstrates that Black people are often treated badly by cops no matter what, because Stevie didn't do anything and he got gunned down by a whole shit ton of people. Cleo did do something and she got gunned down by a whole bunch of people. So it doesn't fucking matter if they were like doing something bad or not. They met the same end and maybe mad, obviously. So those were my feelings. I have a lot of feelings. So we're going to take a quick breaky. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. Please don't rob a bank while we're out.
Okay, welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week we are discussing Set It Off.
Yes. Okay. So this movie is from 1996 and it's in LA. Mm-hmm. I think I wrote that somewhere in my notes, but I just feel like it's important to know that it's in LA and that it's in the 90s because it does show the civil unrest with the police. And I'm thinking of like the Rodney King mm-hmm. stuff that happened. And that was not that many years before this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we open to a scene at a bank where Vivica A. Fox works as a teller. Her name in this is not Vivica A. Fox. It is Frankie. And then we see that she is getting robbed and she knows the guy. Like, they're not like friends, but she knows him. She's like, Darnell, please don't do this to me. Mm-hmm. So she knows of this guy. And then he's holding her at gunpoint. And then she sees that there are other guys with guns. So, like, it's like an operation. It's not just one. They mm-hmm. have multiple guys stationed around. And then they make everybody get on the ground. And then Frankie says, okay, I'll get the money. And Darnell shoots this old white lady in the head anyway, which is crazy. She was going to get the money. And then the blood is all over Frankie's face. And then the security guard starts shooting. And it becomes this big shootout. And multiple people die. And then eventually the cops come. And they're questioning Frankie and they're like, did you know him? And she's like, I just lived like around him. Like we're from the same area. Like yeah. we're not like friends or anything. And the main cop is mad at her because he's like, what's the procedure for when you're getting robbed? What's the procedure?
I know. What a fucking asshole. Like yeah. she just witnessed something traumatic. And he's just like,
he's like, what's you didn't the follow the procedure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this happened because you didn't follow the procedure.
Yes. And so that's annoying. And also this guy's really good at playing a dick because he's the guy from Scrubs that was like the asshole older doctor. And he's in this show that I watch now called mm-hmm. The Rooster mm-hmm. with Steve Carell, who mm-hmm. is my favorite. I hope nothing bad comes out about him because he is so funny.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say, I hope nothing bad happens to him. I was
but
like,
that too. What? But I always worry. You can never like a Hollywood person, especially a man, because something bad comes out about them. So I hope nothing bad comes out about Steve Carell, but I think he's so funny.
Yeah.
And this guy is in it. He plays like the dean of the college and, mm-hmm. And Steve Carell works at the college. Anyway, so I got distracted by talking about the guy. So he's mad. She didn't do the procedure. She's like, well, he had a gun and he shot someone right in front of me. So like yeah. I was going through a lot. And then the bank manager fires her because she knew Darnell. And he's like, we can't have you having like your friends in here. Like, what if you are colluding with him? So they're trying to imply that because she knew of him, she was purposely having this happen mm-hmm. and she's in on it. And I think it's really racist because they're just assuming because they're both black and they're from the same area mm-hmm. that they know each other and are friends. And also that she would be doing something shady. And it's crazy. And she's like, I have counted so much money for you. I've done so many things for you. Mm-hmm. I've never stolen anything. Like, this is fucked up. And so, yeah, I hate it. It made me really mad. And she yells at the boss and mm-hmm. then he has the nerve to tell her to calm down, which is also racist and sexist because it's like implying that she's like this woman that can't handle her emotions. And mm-hmm. then I think it goes into this like angry black woman stereotype mm-hmm. and this old fat white man is like, calm down, like control yourself.
I just fired you from your job after you just had like a traumatic experience. Yeah. Just be calm.
Yeah, just be calm. I was like, fuck this guy. Okay, then we move to a scene of a house party, and it's a 70s-themed graduation party. It's a graduation party for Stevie, who is Stoney, a.k.a. or played by Jada Pinkett Smith's little brother. Mm-hmm. So he's graduating high school. We meet Cleo, who is Queen Latifah. We meet Stoney, and we meet Titi, which I feel bad because I don't know the actress's name.
I don't know her name either.
Because she's not that famous after this, but she's very good in this. She does a very good job acting.
Yeah.
So I'm an asshole. I should have looked up her name. And then so we see basically Stoney has taken care of Stevie since I guess their parents died. So she's been kind of like a guardian mother figure to him. Mm-hmm. And then Stevie and Stoney go and talk separately in a room, and he tells her he is not going to go to college because he didn't get a scholarship, mm-hmm. but he did get into UCLA, but he can't go because he didn't get a scholarship. And Stoney's like, it's okay, I'll take care of it. And he's like, how can you do that? You can barely pay the bills here. You can't like pay for me to go to college. Mm-hmm. And then at night we see Cleo, Stoney, and Titi at their cleaning job. So they work at like office buildings, like cleaning at night. Mm-hmm. And they have a boss named Luther, and he is a dick, and he calls Cleo a man, and then he docks TT's pay for not recycling. Mm-hmm. And so he's an asshole. Cleo tells the other girls about the robbery, mm-hmm. and then we see the cops looking at the robbery video. So we like move from that scene to seeing like the cops at the station or whatever. And then we move to a scene. My notes make me laugh. We move to a scene at the apartment complex where, like, the people, the main characters are from. Stoney doesn't live there, but mm-hmm. the other people are from this apartment complex. I can't remember what they call the place, but the one guy has it tattooed or shaved
Acorn.
Into his head. Acorn.
Acorn Projects.
Projects. Yes, Acorn. Okay, so anyway, they're at Acorn Projects, and they're, like, having, like, a hangout in the parking lot. And I said, Cleo is in the car, and she looks so
She looks
hot.
So hot.
Oh, my God. I was like, dear Lord. Okay, so all the girls are hanging out, and Titi has her baby son with her. And then Cleo tells them, yeah, the robbers got $20,000, and we should probably do this. And they all kind of, like, laugh it off, but they're all also kind of thinking about it, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And then we see Cleo and her girlfriend, Ursula, making out. So now we know for sure she's gay.
Yeah.
She's not just a butch-dressing straight person. She's not catfishing as a gay.
Butch-fishing.
Yes. And then a guy named Nate Andrews comes up, and he's, like, older, and he's being creepy with Stoney.
Yeah.
And he tries to give her a job at his car dealership, and she's like, okay, but I need an advance. And he's like, okay, well, basically, like, you know, you got to do something for that. So mm-hmm. He is gross, and I said, men are gross, and I hate them. And so she has sex with him for the money and because she has to, and it's so sad.
Yeah.
And at night, they are at their cleaning job, and Frankie has started working with them because she got fired from her regular job.
Yeah.
And Frankie's complaining a lot. And I'm like, that would be me. I'm like, ew.
She's like, oh.
And Cleo is, like, looking at a picture of, like, the somebody that works at the bank, like, because they clean the offices. I feel like it looks like a bank. Whatever it is, this
it does,
office
yeah.
building. She's like looking at this picture of these white people. She's like, wow, what an ugly baby. And it makes me laugh because I said white babies are the ugliest babies. And I'm like, apparently Cleo agrees with me.
She's like,
she's like, look at this weird baby. And then in the daytime, so like after they get off work, they're hanging out and they're smoking pot together on the roof. And Cleo tries to be gay with Frankie, and Frankie's like, no, I'm strictly dickly, and I think that is a funny saying.
I know.
I remember the first time I heard it was on this show on HBO that I probably shouldn't have been watching as a teenager called Cat House. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this? Mm-mm. Yeah, you definitely shouldn't have been watching it because it was in, like, 2005. It was, like, a reality show at a legal brothel in Nevada.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, one of the girls was like, yeah, a lot of the girls will, like, take female clients or, like, men and women, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, be a third. But she's like, but I won't. I'm strictly dickly. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so funny. So anyway, apparently that's a saying. I had only ever before heard that girl say it. Mm-hmm. And then they start talking about their money problems. And Frankie's like, we need to rob a bank. And they're, like, kind of joking about it, but you could tell that, like, they're kind of interested.
Yeah,
again.
They're like, this could, like, actually work.
Yeah, the idea is, like, brewing. And then later, Stoney shows her brother that she got a check for him to go to UCLA. And he's like, oh, actually, I didn't get in. He tried to tell her, like, oh, it's because of the scholarship.
Yeah.
But he actually didn't get in. And so she slaps him and yells at him, and then he leaves. And then he goes to see Lorenz, who is one of the bank robbers. Mm-hmm. And Lorenz has AP for Acorn Projects cut into his hair, like mm-hmm. shaved into the back of his head. And he tells his girlfriend to do it to Stevie's hair, even though he isn't actually from Acorn Projects. Mm-hmm. And this is bad because the cops saw the video and they saw the back of Lorenz's head and it has the AP on it. Yeah. So they know the person that robbed the bank had that in their hair. And then basically, I think he went over there because he's not 21 and the guy was going to give him champagne.
Yeah.
So he had like a bottle of champagne in his jacket or whatever. And he walks out and the apartment is like surrounded by cops and they shoot him. And it's so evil and ridiculous. And he dies and it's so fucking sad. And then the cops go into Lorenz's apartment and it becomes another shootout because mm-hmm. he starts firing at them. That's the whole thing. And then Stoney comes and sees her brother's body and she is so upset and crying and so fucking sad. And as they watch the bodies being taken away, the main cop guy, the guy from Scrubs, mm-hmm. gives them his card. And I don't know what his name is in this. I just call him the main cop guy. I don't remember either,
actually.
Whatever. He's a dick. He gives them his card. Like, oh, if you need me, call me. And Stoney freaks out and, like, tries to attack him. And I was like, he does seem to feel bad, which is more than can be said for a lot of people.
That's
like,
true.
Like, he was really mad that his guy shot him. He saw that it was just a champagne bottle. Yeah. And he's like, really, over a champagne bottle?
Yeah.
So he does seem to feel, like, bad, but it still happened. 2 days later, all the girls are at Stoney's house, and they say she's been crying and puking the whole time. Like, that's all she's been doing. And she says she can't stay there anymore because she keeps, like, seeing Stevie everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. And then Cleo tries to comfort her. And then later at work, the girls are talking about a serious plan for robbing a bank. Mm-hmm. And TT is scared. But Frankie is like, this is literally the perfect crime because I worked for a bank and I know how to do it.
Yeah.
She says, we're just taking from the system that is fucking us all anyway.
Exactly.
And I agree.
Yeah.
And then we see Stoney and TT going into the bank, like, during the day. Mm-hmm. And basically, they're, like, casing it. Mm-hmm. And Stoney tells them she wants to open a new account, and this manager guy came to talk to her because she's pretty, obviously. So I'm like, well, this is a problem because she can't go unnoticed anywhere she goes because she's too hot. Like, you have to be, like,
she should have been
more,
like,
average looking
in a disguise
go-
or something.
Yes, because I'm like, people are going to recognize and remember her because mm-hmm. she's too beautiful. And anyway, the manager guy asked for her number, and she's like, no, but I'll take yours. And so then at night at the cleaning job, TT doesn't have a babysitter, so she has to bring her son. And he gets into chemicals, and they have to call 911, and he gets rushed away to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then he gets taken away by CPS, and it's so sad because they're like, you are, like, neglecting him because you weren't watching him, and he got into things that he could have died from.
Yeah.
Which is true, like, that they should have been watching him, but it's also hard because how is she supposed to work and can't even afford
him.
A babysitter. Yeah. And if she doesn't work, then it's like, then it goes back to the whole stupid, incredibly racist idea of the welfare queen, mm-hmm. right? If she was not working mm-hmm. Because she needed to stay home to take care of the son, mm-hmm. then she would get government assistance mm-hmm. because she has a child, and then people would be judgmental mm-hmm. about her doing that. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you fucking don't. And it pisses me off. And so anyway, the social worker said, you'll get a court date and you need to provide proof that you can pay for proper childcare to get mm-hmm. him back. And so then we see them planning the robbery at this shop that Cleo, like, works at or has. Mm-hmm.
She's,
I don't
like,
know.
Does she, like, working on her car?
So does she, like, rent out this garage? Because, like, no one else is ever there.
Yeah, maybe it's, like, her place.
I don't know.
In one, which is kind of cool, but
I was just confused by it. Yeah. But they're in there. And we see them practicing shooting as well. So they go to, like, this guy, Black Sam, who is Dr. Dre. And they go to his, hangout spot. And that's where they're practicing shooting. And then they think they will be able to get, like, $50,000 in this robbery, which is over $100,000 in today's money. Mm-hmm. I looked it up. And so they go to – yeah, they ask Black Sam for guns, and he wants Cleo to hook him up with Frankie. And she's like, no, what the fuck? But he does agree to let them use his guns if they pay interest. Mm-hmm. So they do get guns. And then we see Cleo stealing a car. She's very good at stealing cars.
She is.
Which is somehow sexy. I don't know. I was like, wow. She's You're like, so look good at her stealing go. Cars. Ah. And so then the next day they go into a bank with bad wigs and big flannels and they literally look so obvious. I was like, I know. What?
They're like putting the wigs on at the entrance when people are coming in. And I'm like, how do they not think that people are going to be like, there's only one reason.
Yeah. And so they all are kind of freaking out except Frankie. Frankie like pulls out the gun and is like, we're going in.
She's like, let's go. She literally said, I have to set it off.
Yeah. Yes. She's like, it's happening. We're setting it off in here. And then TT runs away and they hold everybody up with guns and rob the bank. Mm-hmm. They succeed and they get into their getaway car and then we see them counting money. And Stoney is like freaking out a little, but Cleo and Frankie are celebrating. We find out that they got $12,000, which is not that much.
Yeah.
Not what they expected. Cleo's so excited though, and she accidentally like shoots the gun at the ceiling. And so, whoops, that's kind of funny though, because I don't know. Later when they're like thinking of memories, they remember that.
Yeah.
So no one gets shot by her shooting the ceiling, so it's okay. And then we see the cops finding out that the vehicle that Cleo stole was used as a getaway in a bank robbery. And they don't know who did it yet, but they're getting prints on all the stuff that Cleo threw out of the car because she's stupid.
I know.
And she's like, oh, all these CDs are dumb. And she threw them outside, so now there's fingerprints on all of them. Ugh. Why? What's that song? Why so sexy but so dumb?
Oh my god.
Mantra. Anyway, that's what it made me think of. So let's see. They're getting prints. They give TT a cut, and Frankie at first doesn't want to give it to her, but then they all agree to give it to her anyway, because she really needs it to get her son back. And then we see the cops looking into the robbery that they just did. We see Stoney going to go meet the bank manager at his super fancy apartment. Mm-hmm. And they go on a date to eat. And he tells her he's from D.C. And she's like, oh, I've never been there. And he's like, have you ever been outside of L.A.? And she's like, no. And it's like, yeah. Because this is another thing that people that are very privileged don't really think about. He grew up with more money, so he's been able to travel and go places. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have any money, so no, she's never left L.A. Why would she have left L.A.? You think she has, like,
money to go? She also had Stevie to take care of. Yes. So, like, why – how can she do that?
Yeah. And she said – he said he went to business school, and she's like, oh, I wanted to go to business school. And he's like, for what? And she's like, for, like, typing and bookkeeping. And then he laughs at her, which is really condescending. Like, obviously, this is showing that they're from such different, like, places. But mm-hmm. I feel like it's really rude to, like, laugh.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
If you were to be like, oh, when I say business school, this is, like, what I mean, would be a lot nicer than laughing at somebody. Mm-hmm. So he pissed me off. He's like, I can't believe that you're this hard when you're so beautiful. And she's like, I'm not like, okay, hard. Like, right? Whatever. And then at his house later, she tells him that she feels caged because she's like, do you feel free? And he's like, yeah, I've always felt free. And she's like, I feel caged. Mm. And so she's never felt free. And he asks her where she sees herself in 5 years, and she doesn't know because she has been literally in survival mode, like, her whole life, or at mm-hmm. least since the parents died. Like, she doesn't have time to think about those things.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that is, like, a privilege that people don't think about is, like, having time to even think about what you want to do with your life is a privilege because a lot of people are just – it's literally survival mode constantly. Mm-hmm. And this is another example, speaking of, like, people not understanding things. People don't understand unhoused people and the struggles they go to, but, like, they're literally just trying to survive. Like, how do I get food? How do I find a place to sleep? Like, mm-hmm. it's very hard to also try to, like, find a job because if you work but you still live outside and you can't get into a shelter because the shelters are backed up, you're going to leave all your stuff and have it be stolen while you go to work. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to do? So there are these things that people don't think about, rich people don't think about, or people that are not even just rich, but, like, think of it like I feel rich in comparison to someone that has nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so anyway, just something to think about. She's like, I spent all my time trying to make sure my brother would be successful and go to college. And he's like, oh, well, he'll do great. And she's like, oh, he's dead.
And he's like, oh, shit.
And then we see the cops in their office, whatever, noticing it could be Frankie and Stoney.
Mm-hmm.
And the main cop guy, Scrubs guy, goes to talk to his boss. And he's like, this is what I think. And they're like, no, that's going to look really bad.
Yeah, don't like you bring it. In the sister of the person you murdered.
Yes. No. So I wish he would have just left alone like his cop, like his boss said. But he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No. And then the next day we see.
Why am I so funny?
The next day, we see Cleo and Ursula at the shop smoking, and Ursula is giving Cleo a lap dance on the car, and it's really hot. Oh, my God. That's what I wrote. And then the girls come in, and they're like, what the fuck?
They're like,
They're like, why haven't you been at work in a week? And she's like, because I have my hot girlfriend here. Why would I go to work? Also, I bought her a bunch of nice stuff. Look at this outfit
she's
I bought
she's
her.
Dancing for me, so yes. What the fuck?
And the girls are like, what the fuck? We have to act normal. Like, we can't act like we have money all of a sudden, you know? Yeah. And then Cleo gets all mad and points the gun, like she puts it against Stoney's face,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. And then Stoney is like, bitch, you're so high, and slaps her for doing that, and then grabs a bottle to hit her. And then Cleo's like, what, you're really gonna hit me? And it's like, you put a gun to her fucking face. Like,
why would she not?
Crazy.
She's like, we've known each other since first grade or whatever. But I'm like, girl,
why
did you put a gun to her
yeah,
head?
Yeah, that's crazy. And so then they're both like, well, fuck you. And then Stoney leaves. To go to the rich man's house and they make out. And and then we see Cleo, Frankie, and TT in the car. And Frankie's like, Cleo, you know you were wrong for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleo is still being defensive. But then they pull up at Stoney's and they pick her up. And we see that the cop guy is parked there hiding and taking pictures. So now he knows they all hang out because mm-hmm. he saw them all together. He uses that to find Cleo in the system, and she sees that she's the only one that has a prior, but mm-hmm. she has a prior for Grand Theft Auto because she's really good at stealing cars, but I guess not that good because she got caught once.
True.
And then at night at the cleaning job, Stoney and Cleo make up, and Cleo's like, okay, but we need to rob more because we need to get like real money. This isn't enough money.
Yeah. Like if you want to leave, already. Girl, we need money.
Yeah. And then Stoney talks about wanting to do more with her life and plan for her future.
Yeah.
And she asks Cleo what she wants in 5 years. And she's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to live, which is like what I was talking about. Like she started thinking mm-hmm. about it because that guy put it in her mind. But like Cleo hasn't really thought about it because she's also been in survival mode yeah. and probably been surrounded by a lot of people in the same like mode,
mm-hmm.
not thinking about what do you want to go to college? Do you yeah. want to like what's your dream
just
job?
Trying
like,
to survive.
Like, I'm just trying to live.
Yeah.
And then we get this like Godfather scene in the conference room. I know that it's from The Godfather, but I've never seen The Godfather. I don't think I would like it, but I like this version because it's women, but there's a lot of men in the.
They should remake it and just have it be all women.
Yeah, I would watch that. So they're all doing Italian accents and deciding to rob another bank. And then we see Cleo stealing another car to use as a getaway. And then she's dumb and she throws all the CDs out again. So like giving them
with her.
More, yeah,
I
like
cannot.
What? And then we see them pull up to the next bank and the security guard is distracted by a homeless person. And they hold up this bank and rob it. And the cops are outside arresting the homeless man for bothering customers. And one of the guys on the ground tries to grab his gun. But TT was a plant. So, like, mm-hmm. TT was in there pretending to be a customer of the bank. And mm-hmm. then she's next to this guy that's, like, tries to be a hero. And then mm-hmm. she's, like, pulls
she came
a gun
through.
On him.
She, like, switched. Yeah. She's, like,
Yeah. And he's, like, oh, shit. and then the women see the cops outside. And they're, like, oh, fuck. We're fucked. And then Cleo comes through the window.
The worst. I cannot with this in. It pissed me off.
So dramatic. Cleo comes to the window in a giant SUV she stole. And then, this also pissed me off, they're all just staring at her. And they're she's like, get in! And I'm like, I get it. Like, but it's like, seriously? Like, now
bad
that it's
decisions
in here, just
all
get in there.
Around, right?
Yeah. And then they run it through the front window where the cops are, which is even crazier. And then they also cause, or almost cause accidents.
Yeah.
And then they're at the shop and they're all celebrating. They got so much money this time, $75,000 a piece, which in today's money, I looked it up, is $157,000 a piece.
That's crazy.
Which is literally life-changing. That yeah. is so much money. And so they're very excited, but they need a place to hide the money. So they hide it in the building that they clean at night inside like a vent thing.
Yeah.
And then we see Stoney getting invited to a black tie event for bankers with the guy. Oh yeah. His name is Keith.
Yeah. I was just going to say like, what is his name? I couldn't remember.
Keith. Keith. I still don't know the cop's name though.
And maybe you wrote it down at some point.
Probably not. The cops show up at his house while Stoney is there and she's like scared. And but it's to ask about Alexis being stolen from his neighborhood or something mm-hmm. near his parking spot.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, sorry, I just don't like the cops ever since what happened to my brother. And he's like, yeah. that's okay. And then she's wearing this very colorful outfit that I like, but yeah. it's not the boring outfit that he would want his woman to wear to a banker event, I feel. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, let's go shopping. So he takes her to this fancy place and buys her like a plain, like black, beautiful dress mm-hmm. instead of this like bright, colorful thing. And at the event, Stoney is like super nervous. And then one of the guys asks if she's in banking and she's like, yeah, kind of in a way. And so I like that. And then she talks to Keith about how she just wants to get away. And he's like, well, just stay with me for a while. And then they have sex that night. And the sex scene is too long.
The only thing I can think of is a song, Some Heartbreak. That's the only thing I think of.
Okay, yes, it was too long. I didn't want to see it. And then they show up at work and there's a new cleaning company there. They're like, oh, Luther doesn't work here anymore. He doesn't have this job. Mm-hmm. And they're like, are you fucking kidding me? That means he probably found the money because why would yep. he lose a job? So then they go and they see that the money is gone. And so they're like, what the fuck? So they go to Black Sam and they tell him Luther stole all their money, which includes his interest. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, well, he was in here. He said he's at this hotel. And so they go to the hotel to find him. And they attack him while he is fucking someone. And they hold him at gunpoint and they ask him about the money. And he's like, I don't know anything about money. And then he puts Cleo at gunpoint because he also had a gun. And then mm-hmm. TT shoots him from behind because yeah. she's like, I have to save Cleo.
Yeah.
So this is bad now because not only have they robbed banks, but they killed someone.
In front of another person too.
Yes, in front of this, I think maybe she's a sex worker.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was like, this is bad because this is now murder. They let the girl go and are like, you didn't see anything, right? And yeah. she's like, nothing. And then they never find the money, which is fucked up. And then in the morning, we see Stoney leaving Keith's house. And so I don't know. I guess that was important to know that they spent the night, whatever. And then we see Cleo and Ursula walking and the cop shows up and makes Cleo participate in a lineup. He's like, I have to take you downtown to be in this lineup. Mm-hmm. And she's like, the fuck? And then the white woman that Luther was fucking is being the witness. And I said, I'm so mad about it. You can't trust white women. But you know what? Actually, you can trust this one because she probably was forced into it the more I thought about it because I think she is a sex worker.
Yeah.
And so they probably like found her and knew that she had been seen with Luther and yeah. they forced her into it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you can trust me, but I just feel like I think about like the whole idea of like white feminism and there are a lot of white women who even if they wouldn't admit it, are rooted or like their ideas are kind of rooted in a lot of racism in that, well, if we look back at feminism, like it was a bunch of white women trying to get the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care about other races of women.
Yeah, they excluded
the right to vote.
Everyone else. They only thought they should be
yeah,
able to.
So, there is some inherent racism in feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, why am I talking about that? Point being,
because she was in the lineup.
Yes,
and
okay.
people lie.
Yes. So she was in the lineup. Cleo shows her like discreetly because she had taken that girl's ID, the sex worker's ID, and
yeah.
put it in her pocket. So she like discreetly is like tapping the pocket so the woman knows like, I will fucking kill you if you tell them it's me. If you say anything,
yeah.
And so the woman's like, it's not her. And the cops are trying to force her to say it. And she's like, no.
She's like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm. And then at the shop, we see that everyone told Stoney what happened. And she's like, what the fuck? And then Frankie's like, we need to take the big bank downtown because they're going to be after all of us anyway. So we need to do the biggest one. And that'll and be like our last hurrah. We'll get out of town.
Yeah.
And Cleo shows back up and tells Ursula to go pack their shit. And that they need to rob another bank and then get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And Stoney doesn't want to do it, especially because it's the bank that her man works at. But then she agrees to do it because chicks before dicks. And then we see TT getting a visit with her son and the social worker. I wrote SW. It could be either. Okay, the social worker tells her she thinks everything will be just fine. Yeah. And then we see all the girls at the diner and they seem nervous. And Frankie is like, no one has ever successfully robbed this bank. So we need to stick to the plan. Sorry, I'm laughing because there was a part where Cleo keeps getting more and more coffee. And TT's like, stop drinking so much coffee, Cleo. You're making me nervous. And she's like, how is me drinking coffee making you nervous?
She's like, I don't know. It just is.
It's just so funny. So anyway, they're like trying to make sure the plan is like perfect. And Cleo got the masks for this one, which I don't understand why they didn't have masks for the other ones. But the masks are clear, which is so fucking stupid. If you're going to get masks, why would you still have them be clear? You could still see like some of your face. That's so dumb. And then the bill comes out and none of them have any money to pay the bill. Like they're that broke. None of them have money to pay their diner bill. And then they like sneak out. And then they steal another car for a getaway. And Cleo continues to throw shit out of it. Stupid. And give more fingerprints.
At this point, right, she's like, fuck it. They know us.
I know. She's like, they know.
Who cares?
They brought me to this lineup. At Downtown Federal, which is their next target, the big bank where Keith works, the cops are giving a training thing to the employees about the women. And Keith seems to realize it's Stoney because he sees her in the video and she's too beautiful to go unnoticed. So
he's like,
obviously,
that's my girl.
He's like, oh my God. Wow. And then she calls him from a car phone because the car they stole had a car phone, which is really cool in the 90s. she calls him to ask him to meet her at the restaurant they went to in 5 minutes because she doesn't want him to be there when this goes down, basically. She doesn't tell him that.
She's just like,
I feel
meet
like
me
he
there.
Knows that's why.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll go. And then the women go into the bank with guns and they start robbing it and holding everybody at gunpoint. And then Stoney starts firing near people. She's not having it today. She's like, don't fuck with me. And the cops get called to the bank that they just left because the robbery is happening. So we literally see the cop like driving back to the station and they get the call that there's a robbery going on where they just left. So they turn back around. And then the cops are so close, so they get there, like, right away. And then the cops yell Stoney's name, like, we know it's you, Stoney.
Yeah.
And it's a standoff with all of them. And he's like, I'm sorry about Stevie. And there should be no more killing. But I wrote, I think that was a stupid thing to say because that would just make me want to kill him more. Because it's like, oh, yeah, thanks for the reminder. You were the one that was involved in this. Fuck you. Anyway, TT and Stoney seem to be, like, moved by that. They're like, yeah, no more killing. They put their guns down. And then a security guard comes out of the fucking woodwork and shoots TT, which she literally just put her fucking gun down. And then Cleo's like, fuck you. So she opens fire. And then so does Stoney. And then it becomes a full-on shootout. And Frankie's in the getaway car. Like, what the fuck? And then she pulls up on the sidewalk and they drag TT into the car because she got shot. So they drag her in and then they're still shooting as they're driving away backwards. And they're trying to get her to the hospital, but I feel like they kind of know she's not going to make it. And they're like, we need to switch cars because this one is damaged because there's so many like gunshots, whatever. So they go to try to steal another car. And while Cleo is stealing another car, TT dies in Stoney's arms.
I know.
It's
so sad.
So sad. And then like, I think, you know, the other girls kind of know. I don't think she really tells them. Like, she closes her eyes, and Frankie sees her do that. And then when Cleo pulls up in the new car, she's like,
and
nods her
then
head,
Cleo's
and then
like,
they're all crying.
Yeah.
So sad. And then they're like, I'm so sorry, TT. We have to leave you here. And they get into the new car, and there's a helicopter after them. And then we see Keith back at the bank being upset because he knows it's her. And we see more cop cars and helicopters going after them. So this is like a full-on like police chase.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We see Ursula watching them on the news. So it's like sad because she knows that her girl is like in this chase. Like, so it's not going to end well, whether she gets shot or she goes to prison.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going well. They're caught. They cause an accident, which gives them a little bit of leeway with the cars, but the helicopter is still above them. And then they go through a tunnel and they're kind of blocked in by the helicopters, like on either side of the tunnel. And Cleo tells the other girls to get out and lean against the wall and then run. And she's like, I'll catch up with you later. But obviously she knows she's sacrificing herself for them, which is like, wow, so chivalrous.
Right.
And she's, they're like, what do we do with the money? And she's like, keep the money, you know?
Like, just hold on to it.
What am I going to do? I want to die. But yeah,
she's like, hold on to the money.
And then she drives straight into the helicopter until the helicopter goes back up because they don't want to get hit. And so now there's like so many cop cars chasing her. And we see Frankie and Stoney hugging and dumping their, like, they were wearing like coverall, like mechanic outfits. Mm-hmm. And so they take those off and they're wearing normal clothes and they split up and they run. And then Cleo drives into a trap and she's fully barricaded by cops. And they tell her to just step out and surrender. And she's like, fuck no, and decides to just drive. She like lights her cigarette and she tries to duck while driving. But eventually the car stops. So then I think they think that maybe she's dead, but she's not. She gets out and starts shooting. And then they shoot her. And then she dies.
All while Ursula's watching this.
Yes. They show Ursula see it happen on live TV. Ugh. And it's so sad. And she's crying. And then we see Stoney getting onto a bus that's going to Mexico. And we see Frankie get caught by the cops. And Stoney sees it through the window. Because the bus is going like right by where she's getting caught or whatever. And the main cop guy finally tells his people not to shoot. And I'm like, he should have told him not to shoot for other stuff.
Exactly.
Anyway, he's trying to get her to surrender. And then Frankie puts a gun to his head. She's like, so what's the procedure for this? And I'm like, this bitch. And then she takes off and runs. And they shoot her, obviously. Yeah. So she dies. And then Stoney and the cop make eye contact. But he lets her go, and I think
the least he can do.
I know.
The least he can
also do. Also, pretty privileged, I feel. He's That's like, true.
I mean,
what else true. Is she going to do? I did have her brother
killed.
I think
she's not going to rob any more banks.
She'll be
fine.
Let this pretty little lady go. And then we see that Stoney makes it to a hotel in Mexico, and she has all the money on the bed. And she's crying and she's thinking about all her friends who are gone now. That's when I was saying, like, she remembers when, like, Cleo was, like, shooting the thing and when they were all high on the roof and, like, having fun. And then we see her cut off all her hair. And then she makes a call from a payphone to Keith. And she doesn't really say anything, but he can tell that it's her. And then he says, I'm glad you're safe, Stoney. And she says, I am, and thank you. And then hangs up. And then we see her driving a Jeep by the beach in Mexico, living her best life. And then it ends. So it's so sad, and I feel like I love this movie, and I always forget that everybody dies. I'm like, oh, I love
You only remember the good part.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, women doing men's crimes.
Being hot.
Yes, being hot and robbing
but
banks.
But then dying.
So cool, but then, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. So, anywho, that was really sad, but I did decide to still do a Munch Munch Murder. oops. So obviously this is the
alive version.
This is in the version in our heads where we stop watching after they like
rob
the one
laptop.
Bank and get the money. Yeah, we're like, no. So the options are Cleo, Ursula, and Stoney.
Okay.
Do you have choices or do you want me to go first?
I do. I know my answer.
Okay. What is
that? I'm going to munch Cleo.
Yeah.
I'm going to merge with Stoney.
Yeah.
And I'm going to murder Ursula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Cleo is so stupid and makes really bad choices.
I feel like I do think Cleo's really hot. So obviously, you know, I'm going to munch. But like, I don't want to merge with her.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she's unpredictable. And Stoney, like, even though, you know, she's going through things, she's like made it out. And then Ursula, I just didn't really, like, she's beautiful, but I just didn't really, I don't even think she talks in the movie.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to base that off of.
You're right. I don't think we ever
hear
her voice.
Say anything.
She's
not
like,
even when the other people are talking to her, and she's just like,
She's like, anyways. She's
yeah. What
That's
about you?
Funny. Okay. I don't know. Okay. So I think I would merge with Cleo. And yeah. But it is sad because it would probably be a really toxic relationship because the way that she treated Ursula was very like, bitch, go pack our bags. I'm like, don't That's tell me true. What to do.
You could change her, though, maybe.
I know. Like, me always thinking that about Shane. I'm like, I know, but
she's waiting to settle down.
Okay. And so I would merge with Cleo. I think I would munch Ursula because at least she's gay.
Oh, that's so true. But you know what? I feel like Stoney, maybe
she's a little gay.
Maybe she's a little gay. Yeah. It's okay. She could buy at the very least. Come on.
Yeah. And I would have to murder Stoney, which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
But I've decided. So that's what would
happen. And Ursula, like, you know, she doesn't say anything. So maybe she won't say anything to you.
She would just listen to me all the time.
Exactly.
This is great. Okay. So. On a scale of 1 to 5, what would you rate this movie?
Okay, this movie is really good. It's a classic. I think it's a 5.
Oh, my God. Why are we always the same?
Well, this is your favorite movie. I know. Imagine you're like, it's a 2 for me.
It's going to be a 2. No, I also said a 5. It's so good. It's so sad, but I think it talks about really important issues. I just wish that they didn't have to die, but I feel like it... It's almost like... Yeah, it has to be sad to show the reality of life.
Yeah.
So, yes, also I give it a 5. anywho, okay, so if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram or TikTok and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We're now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Send in your dilemmas and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. Mm-hmm. There's a link to the Jot form in the description of this episode, as well as in the link tree on all of our social media pages. Also, visit our Patreon and sign up to become a patron to get access to ad-free episodes, bonus content, and more.
Okay, welcome back. Today we are doing a current obsessions segment.
Oh my God.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Okay. Yeah. okay, so I have 2. Well, kind of 3.
Oh.
Okay.
You're like, actually, I have 5. So.
No. So I asked my wife, I was like, I don't know what to do for my current obsession. What's my current obsession? And she's like, you're obsessed with sweater vests right now. And I was
that's so true.
I have been in my sweater vest era and long skirt era. So I've been really into both of those things. So that's why I was like, this is 2 things, but also kind of not because they're both clothing things.
That's true.
And then the other one is I am obsessed with trying all the flavors of the Alani energy drinks.
Oh, you know what? I could see that, actually.
I don't really like them as much as I like the ghosts, but I really like the cotton candy flavor, and so it made me want to try other ones. And so I've been, like, trying them, but then I post a video about it on my regular, like, not – but I'm a lesbian TikTok.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it's worth it because I'm making friends on TikTok talking about trying these energy drinks. So anyway, those are mine. What are yours?
Okay. I know. I was kind of struggling to think of one, but if it had to be, I am watching Love on the Spectrum right now. I have not finished it, but it's very good.
It's so good.
I really like it. Since it first came out, I had watched it and I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. I need more seasons right now. And I love seeing all the people and them trying to find love.
Yeah.
And even if they don't find love, they grow either way.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Yes.
I don't think I have a second obsession. I think that's my obsession.
I also love Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah.
And sometimes, well, I don't know if – I don't think this is mean. There are times when, like, they're, like, kissing and, like, specifically Madison and Tyler.
Oh,
and it, first of all, was very uncomfortable. This was on the season before this where they were, like, making out in front of her parents. But I was, like, secondhand embarrassment. I was feeling so awkward for them and for the parents.
Yeah.
But also, it didn't look like they were doing a very good job of kissing. And it just made me remember that I guess I'm just glad that my wife is a good kisser. Because there's also a deleted scene mm-hmm. of Perry and her girlfriend from last mm-hmm. season kissing. And they're so awkward.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my God, no. And there's another scene where they're asking Danny, like, can you tell us more about how to kiss? Because, like, we don't feel
of
like
we're getting
it
right. Of course they ask Danny.
Yes. Oh, my God. And so then Danny and her boyfriend start making out in front of them to show them how to do it. Anyway, it's just really funny. But I think, I don't know, should we do an episode about kissing? Because I feel like kissing is really important. I don't know. I also think, I don't know. I just like kissing. That's all.
I thought you were going to talk about, like, your first kiss or something. Because then I was thinking back to it.
No, because my first kiss was terrible. I think we talked about it. It was that guy that took advantage of me being drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it was good. And I had to learn from there. Have you ever kissed someone that was, like, a really bad kisser?
Yes. And it was a man.
Oh, my God. Me too.
I mean, it makes sense that they're a man. But it was, like, genuinely so bad. Like, you know what? I'm not saying that everyone, like, is born, like, a great kisser. Obviously, you learn, right? Yeah. But, like, this person had obviously prided themselves on having experience and being, like, a really great kisser. So I was like, okay, whatever. And in my head, I was like, am I, like, going crazy? This is not how it's supposed to be. But it was so disgusting because he was literally – it's
so
giving me like
tongue and so much.
It's making
saliva.
Me want to throw up actually because I don't think I've thought about this since that happened. But yes, there was a lot of tongue, not in my mouth, on my face. Like he was licking my face on the outside,
what?
And I was like,
what?
I was like, oh, okay, all right. We were obviously hooking up, so I was like, let's just skip that.
Oh my god,
let's not kiss.
Yeah, like let's.
But I said it in a nice way. I think I was like, oh, like let's. That's just not. And I was like, and he kept wanting to kiss. And I was like, no, I'm okay, actually. Because it was just disgusting, actually. And then one of my first kiss, the guy, I actually don't know because he was older than me. And he said he had experience kissing. Why do they always start off with that? Like, I'm a really great kisser, blah, blah, whatever. He bit the fuck out of my lip and it started bleeding. And I was like, I don't like this, actually.
Oh, no.
So that should have been, like, a sign for me that maybe I should stop kissing men.
Yeah.
That was disgusting. I'm just thinking about that now, and I'm just like, no. Ugh.
It is really bad when that happens. I LOL'd because our producer wrote Golden Retriever Alert, and I was thinking, like, Golden Retriever Mask? And then I'm like, oh, because he was
licking all over my face.
I don't think I've had someone licking all over my face, but I have had, like, where I think they think that kissing is, like, you open your mouth and you just, like, go... Like, it's so awkward. Like, there needs to be, like, a rhythm of, like, okay.
But they're just like, boom,
here,
boom,
I'm
going to
be, like, in this spot, and you're going to be. And it's, like, normally it just happens, like, naturally, and it's good. But, like, sometimes when the rhythm is off, you can tell and it's awkward, and then I feel awkward
you
for
have
the
to
person.
Get back on the
I'm
rhythm.
Like, yes. but also, like, if they don't understand, like, you can be, like, you know, on my bottom lip. You don't have to just have your mouth, like, on my mouth and, like, sticking your tongue in and out. This is so awkward.
Oh, God.
And I definitely had that happen with boys in high school. And it was so weird. So
crazy. Like, it's just, no, I'm thinking about that. Maybe that's where he got confused, like, because it was only just top lip. But then I was like, okay, like, tongue on the outside? Like you're almost by my nose. Like, are you trying to lick my nose? Like, what's going on?
So weird.
Yeah.
Your story about the licking all around the mouth makes me think of, I had a friend who, when we were like really young, there was this guy she knew liked her. He was kind of like not someone she would ever go for, but like he would have parties at his house, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing when you're young and you're like, oh, we can get alcohol from him because
like,
she wasn't 21
yet.
And we went to his house and then she was like drunk and I guess they were like making out or mm-hmm. something. Anyway, apparently they were laying down.
Oh my God, I'm scared. What did he do?
He kept like putting his like finger like around her belly button and then like trying to put his finger in there. And she's what? Like, does she's he like, think this is my vagina?
Like, he's like, it's higher up than I thought.
Oh my God, how awkward. He's like, wow, this is, she's not wet at all. Because
he's like, okay.
This is, why is it so shallow? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he had some kind of belly button fetish, but I think he was really inexperienced and didn't know. He's like, I'm looking for a hole. I don't know which hole.
It was the first hole I saw.
This must be the hole.
It must be.
Like, that's so awkward. Crazy. I feel like I would have laughed. And that I wouldn't like, do it to be mean, but I wouldn't be able to. I'd be like, what are you doing?
You'd be like, oh.
Like, so that's, this is going to end, actually. Yeah. Like, you don't need to find out where the correct one is. anyway, that was a fun talk. We should have an episode more about kissing and things like that. Anyway, okay, so. We're going to do queer trivia.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes, queen.
Do you want to go first?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Is it a good one? No, it's a bad one.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you'll know this. Which video by George Michael featured Linda Evangelista, Naomi Campbell, Christy Turlington, Cindy Crawford, and Tatiana Patitz? Is it...
I know all these people minus the last person.
Yeah. Is it Father Figure, Freedom 90... Faith or Careless Whisper?
It's not. I think it's. Is it Father Figure?
No.
No. What was it?
Freedom 90.
Oh, okay. Then that's on me.
But I do like that.
I knew Father Figure. I know everyone in there, but not. Yeah. Like that specific. Okay, I'll do that one since I already touched it.
Oh.
Okay. In which TV series was Demi Lovato's first acting role? Was it A, Barney and Friends? B, As the Bell Rings, C, Sunny with a Chance, or D, Prison Break?
It was Barney.
Yes. I'm like, no, it's actually Prison Break.
Is she even in that?
No, okay. I think they just threw that in there.
I read an article in Cosmo in like 2012 or 2013 mm-hmm. where Demi Lovato said that she was depressed already when she was on Barney when she was 4 or 5. And I remember thinking, how would she even know she was depressed? Like, but maybe she's looking back as an adult being like, oh, I that was like depressed at that time. Because I'm like, I don't think you'd really understand the words yet like at that time.
Yeah, maybe like looking back, she was already. Or, you know, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I might have told you this. I didn't realize until like 10 years after the song came out that Cool for the Summer was gay. No, I was like, wow, this song is really catchy and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like listening to the lyrics and I was like,
like wait a second.
It says something like, don't be scared because I'm your body type. I was like, oh, because they both have bajojos.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I did. Cool I love that song. I remember hearing it and I'm like, oh my God. Like, what?
doesn't she say something else about? Does she say something about cherry chapstick in it?
Yeah, I think she says something. She says something like that. But like it's
the
like
the taste of the cherry. I just need to take a bite. And then it makes me think of Katy Perry.
Like, I can keep a secret, can you?
Yeah. I did not listen to the lyrics until way later, but it makes me think of, you know, Katy Perry, the taste of her cherry chapstick. Yeah. And then also,
well, fuck her.
She's a bad person.
Yes.
I am going to speak on this again because not everybody is on TikTok, but the Ruby Rose thing where she apparently rubbed her raw vagina area all over Ruby Rose's face when she was passed out in a club is crazy. That is sexual assault. And it just also goes to back. I've never liked Katy Perry. I always feel like she uses lesbians to like, I don't know, like to somehow like boost her fan base or like get attention from men, but like she's the type of girl that would think just because Ruby Rose is gay that she would want that.
Yeah, where she'd be like, oh, of course she'd like that.
Of
like,
course
that's what
she wanted
likes.
Me to rub my Ruby Rose called it her disgusting vagina all over her face. Yeah. Like, that's weird.
That is weird.
So yeah, no, not a Katy Perry fan. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she has catchy songs. So, thank you so much for tuning in to But I'm a Lesbian. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform. And please, please, please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to this. Please help us to keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. And I am saying so many words, you guys. Anyway, I think it's time to go. I'm tired. The algorithm's a bitch, and we're just two lesbians with mics out here trying to survive.
And tune in next week. We will be discussing Girl Trash all night long. That's the name of the film.
We're going to talk about it all night long.
So this is a prequel to the early 2010s web series, Girl Trash. But you don't have to have seen that in order to watch this movie. Like, they're separate. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I never saw the web series.
I never saw the web series either. I just saw the movie because I was like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
It's available on Tubi as always.
And it's a musical.
Yes, I really love musicals.
That's why I watched it. Yeah. Anyway, we will
see you next Tuesday.
Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.